borders.
So it's a little after 5, and this was supposed to start at 5. We're getting started a little late. So why doesn't everybody take a seat, and we'll get this meeting started. Could I get everybody to take a seat, please?
Yeah, we're starting now.
This is very exciting. Thank you all for coming out tonight. So as Mayor Cijulli, I'm going to call the Cijulli City Council to order.
Hello, I'm Mary Alice Grobins, Chair of the Library Board. I'm going to call the Library Board meeting to order.
So we have, it's just going to be a real simple procedure tonight. We're going to start off with an overview of the project, the project schedule, and Mr. Ehrenberg is going to do that. He will present that. And then after that, we will have our SHSK architect. I always have trouble saying that. I apologize. I don't know why I trip up over that. They will be doing a presentation, a slideshow. And at that time, both the Library Board and the City Council will have the opportunity to ask questions. We do ask that the audience hold off, because after the slideshow we are going to move into an open house, an official open house, and at that point you as the audience will have a chance to circulate again around the poster boards. You'll be able to leave postums. I see some of you have already done that with comments and questions, and you'll also be able to ask questions. So let's see, Kevin, you're going to be coming after Aaron, so I guess we'll go ahead and start with Aaron.
Slide. All right. Thank you, Mayor, Council, and members of the Library Board. So we're pretty excited to be at this 90% stage. It's been a lot of work in progress to get here. On the board, you can see our timeline, and I mostly just want to call attention to project work that's about to begin. So this Friday, we're going to be mobilizing a contractor to begin the asbestos remediation on the site. Next week, you'll see fencing go up around the site. And then towards the end of next week, early the following week, you'll see equipment starting to mobilize for the demolition work. So demolition is going to take a couple of weeks, and then there will be a little bit of a break, and we're going to mobilize a contractor to come in and do the preload work. I think we're hauling in something around 8,000. Is it 8,000? It's a lot. I can't remember if it's tons or yards, a significant amount of rock material for the preload to get the site ready to go. That will then sit, and there will be no further action for a period of about 3 months, and that's by design. So when you're driving by, the project didn't stall out. Life is good. The weight's sitting there doing its magic. The geotechs will be out measuring it. And then the project itself will go to bid at the end of February, early March. And our intention then would be to have a notice to proceed in the springtime, April-ish time period. Project's about a 40-week build, so we're on track and on budget to move into this new library in the spring of 2020. So again, asbestos this week, next week fencing, demolition for a couple of weeks, a break, preload for a couple of weeks, and then a break for a few months, and then the actual contractor will be on board to begin the work of stripping the preload off and beginning construction of the site. There is one other piece I guess I didn't mention, which is Puget Sound Energy will be doing some relocation work in that vicinity in anticipation of this project. They'll be relocating the power lines out of the northern side of the State Street right-of-way, and also as part of the city's project with State Street right now, we're having the water line extended across State Street onto the site. So just anticipating site work that would normally happen next year, we're piggybacking on projects this year to save money. If any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
So I think to summarize, so I'm Kevin Kane from SHKS Architects.
And remember, you have to hold the mic.
Oh, okay.
Really close.
So it records. So is this loud enough? No? It is on, but apparently it's sensitive. So, Kevin Kane from SHKS Architects. I'm going to have to rethink our marketing department if we can't get that name right. But anyway, since we last spoke to you in June, we've worked closely with the committee, meeting basically weekly to develop the design and move it forward. This is really a 15 to 20 minute overview of the design. There's a lot of information. The design is developed with a lot of detail. And so after this overview, there'll be time, as Mayor Johnson said, to kind of meet in the back where people can ask specific questions about areas of interest that you have. And I think people do have different areas of interest and emphasis, and so we'll be able to address those. What I wanted to say about the schedule is, in addition to being on schedule, by having the city handle the demolition and the site work, we're going to save probably 2 to 3 months of construction schedule, which will save the project a significant amount of money and time moving forward. So that was a really great move on the city's part. And as Aaron mentioned, we're timing this with some State Street improvements, so we won't have to open up the road again to get the utilities there. So things are lining up in a really good way, schedule-wise and budgetarily. So the next slide, I think, just shows the previous slide shows the site. And maybe it's worth reminding everybody that this site, I think, fulfills all of the requirements and the objectives of the pre-design study, which are easy access from the highway, good visibility, easy access from Metcalf, walking distance, adequate space for a library that's 11,125 square feet, which fits the site and the budget with adequate parking, and leaves some additional space on the south side for library program space and other library activities and a really nice, generous landscape area. So moving ahead, as I mentioned, this project emerged from the pre-design study, which involved a number of meetings with the community here, other stakeholders, library staff members, and the library committee over a period of time. So without going through all of these principles, I think we can say that the project has developed kind of in accordance with these principles, and I'll kind of review those really briefly with, you know, where those, you know, are apparent. So in the next slide, just to remind ourselves about the site, so we have really good visibility. Since this site was selected, there's a new commercial building to the south, there's a new multifamily apartment building, so things are really developing in the area in a kind of good way, and I think that's a really good thing for the library and for the community. So we're, you know, block off Metcalf to the west. So the next slide. At our 30% design meeting, we heard a couple of things, but some things I think came out really clearly. One is books are really important. Let's say that might be first. And so our design approach and response was really to maintain these activity areas at the perimeter, but form the center of the library, you know, using the collection and the books, which both provide a connector and some separation from the noisier and quieter activity areas. So along State Street, where people can see in and see out, we have the more active areas, children, teenagers, social reading and meeting space. And on the north side, a quiet reading area, smaller meeting rooms and a focus room, public computers and a staff area. So the other thing we heard is that there's a desire to keep more flexible space. So I think in this 30% design, we had a separate room for STEAM programs, kind of an enclosed space that, depending on how it was programmed, might have been not fully occupied. So working with the library committee, we decided that there'd be some big advantage to combining that space with the gathering space, the large meeting room. So that space can handle gatherings for events of up to 60 people seated in a presentation format like this, or activities with groups of up to 32 with movable seminar tables for learning or fun activities. The other thing we heard, I think, is that architectural character, civic presence was really important. And so I think we can talk about how we did that. But one of the ways we did it was by expanding the family children's area so that it has its own kind of room that's identifiable on the outside and is kind of an expanded space inside the library and provides a kind of overlap with the early learning through play space. So the next slide, I think, shows that diagrammatic three-dimensional view from the 30% design. And so the changes that we've made really are the development of that space and an outdoor play area for children. And we still have that social reading space as a kind of a immediately recognizable central area of the library. So the next slide describes the site design, and maybe it's worth just walking through this briefly. So if we are arriving by car from the west, we would turn and Rita Street. There's parking off the street, somewhat similar to the parking that's there, though we're also building sidewalk improvements and providing landscape along Rita. You would go into a parking lot to the north of the building. So there's an entrance on the north side for people arriving by cars at the north, and on the south side if you're arriving on foot from State Street. At the back of the lot, there's a gated access for city vehicles only, emergency fire access. So people will kind of arrive and depart through Rita. That's the current configuration and plan. So that's the way that's set up. So we have a landscape buffer kind of on the north, screening the parking area from the adjacent properties. On the south side of the proposed library, you know, starting at the west side, we have a play space that's related to the children and family area. So a place for kids to play stories, unsupervised play, but in a somewhat secure area so children can't wander off onto into State Street. Some learning gardens that are set up so that they're accessible and usable for library programs and carry some additional landscape. A modest lawn that, if you play volleyball, it's about the size of a volleyball court, about 30 by 60 feet. A place where you could bring chairs out or read in front of the social reading area. And an entry plaza that, starting from State Street, you know, provides an obvious welcoming area. Leads you directly to the entrance and to this social space. So the meeting room is here, the social reading area is here, and the family area is here. And these are all places that have direct access to the outside, so people, patrons, can come to the library and then go outside for programs. So those are all controlled entrances, so people aren't sort of wandering in and out. But for different kinds of events, that kind of connection will allow you to use the outdoor space in conjunction with the interior spaces. At the south edge of the site, we really have a rain garden site, which is kind of a Skagit River native plantings area. And because of the soil composition here, we're able to take all the roof water and the parking water and actually have it infiltrate back to the water table through the site in this area. So it's a learning opportunity to kind of carry a natural sort of ecological planting area in addition to these garden areas. And I think working with the library director on these issues, apparently the gardening has become a kind of a more interesting activity, more used, I guess, this year. And we have a lot of opportunity on this site because we have all the south area. The property line is here, which maybe helps explain why the building is up here. And so really it's a question of how do we make really good use of this space to the south of the property line, since we can't really put the building there, but we have a lot of programmatic opportunities. So there's a little mid-block crossing, a little gravel path across a little bridge. So this really handles rainwater in the spring, and then that infiltrates into the ground, takes care of the natural surface water treatment. So that's kind of the site. In terms of the exterior character, the street trees, unfortunately, are obscuring a view of the library, but that children family area that's been expanded is a small version of the social reading room. So you might think of this as the place for all patrons and kind of a dedicated space for families and children, both with sort of access to the outside. So the exterior materials include cedar cladding, a metal roof for capturing rainwater, and a glazing system with generous windows. So we're trying to balance the need and desire for natural light with the requirements for heat gain and heat loss, so it's a comfortable interior space. And trying to take advantage of the visibility of the site with the ability to kind of look in and look out of the library so that people can kind of see what's happening in the library and be made aware of programs as they're occurring. So the next slide, I think, essentially illustrates what it's like to arrive at the library from State Street. So there's a broad walkway. It's handicapped accessible all the way through the site. No stairs. We're trying to take advantage of all the it's very little grade, but there's a little bit of slope from east to west, down to Rita Street. And trying to make this a kind of a natural and inviting area. So if we look at the next slide and focus on maybe the idea of just having a real obvious welcoming entry that's augmented with signage so we kind of know where we are. People driving by can kind of see that this is the library. So we have views in and out, and we have access from these rooms, you know, from the inside to the outside. The next slide, I think, is an attempt to focus on the opportunities for gathering, meeting your friends. So we have some timber benches that are recycled from timbers from the feed store that are being recovered by the city crew. And so we'll improve those and raise up off the ground and create a series of benches and seating opportunities so you can meet with friends outside or just enjoy the weather when that returns sometime in the spring, we hope. I mean, today it was the perfect day to be out on that south side. So this program and event space directly accessible from the meeting room or from this social reading area. So those all hopefully work together to kind of create a critical mass of social opportunity, let's call it. And so this is sort of the arrival from State Street. So the next slide really shows the plan. And I think to make this thing a little more intelligible, we'll walk through it, but everybody has a copy of it with probably the smallest type possible. So let's just start with the rudiments. But there's an entry on the south and an entry on the north. And so those are actually connected in this entry space here. That space immediately to the right is the gathering space, really a large meeting room, multi-purpose room that can also host STEM and learning activities, other kind of group activities, like homework help after school for kids who are out of school. Immediately to the left is the social reading area, which is really set up like a cafe, but anchored by books and collections. A comfortable place to read, work on your laptop, have a conversation with friends. The space adjacent to that is the teen area. And adjacent to that is the children and family area. And then on the west end is the early learning through play space. So this space can open up and be used by sort of larger groups of children and families for programs. So really large children's programs might occur in the gathering space, but if you want to have a smaller story group, that could occur in this space. So we can have multiple programs occurring at the same time, which I think is a good opportunity. So there's a staff service point for the children and youth services librarian right in, you might say embedded with the teens and the children, which I think makes them both available to help with programming and monitor things in the library. The books actually form the full interior space, you know, starting from this initial entry sequence and provide a little bit of spatial buffer between the noisier, more social areas, the quieter areas. So starting on the far west side of the building is an enclosed, quiet reading area, which really celebrates reading. And in that space, we have some local books that are rare and potentially valuable. And so those are in a secure storage area, but in a place where they can be displayed and accessed by library staff for patrons for use in this area. We have one of the old tables from the Carnegie Library, which we're hoping to revive and resuscitate and equip with some state-of-the-art lighting. So there's a place that really celebrates reading and provides a comfortable place. So chairs in the corner with light and view, light coming over your shoulder when you're reading, comfortable seating. I mean, that's the idea. So more collections with some individual reading space, meeting room for 8 to 12 people, which could be used for meetings or other kinds of collaboration, school projects or small business groups. Two small group focus rooms that could be used for tutoring, homework help, online exams or online interviews. So these spaces are equipped with flat monitor displays and internet. A public computer area with space for 8 computing stations, and that's supplemented with space for 3 computers in the teen area and 2 in the children's area. and then a counter that's in front of a north-facing window for people who bring their own laptops and just need to plug in, use power and or Wi-Fi. The staff area is this gray area, and so the thought there is it's centrally located so that patrons arriving from the north or from the south have immediate sort of direct availability, line of sight with staff. So they're welcomed, and if they need help, help is available. We'll look at some interior views of that. It's really an open workspace, so you can see staff, staff can see patrons. Staff are not removed and enclosed in a separate back room. In that area, we do have a break room for staff, a director's office, and then some office space for additional staff when they're, I'd say, not on the floor, but logging books and or doing collections work. So restrooms and mechanical and electrical rooms in the northeast corner. And so that's kind of the lay of the land. So the next slide really shows the preliminary furniture selections. And so this furniture is intended to be durable, movable, and let's not forget comfortable. But we're hoping to make really full use of these spaces. So we don't want to have a really large number of different furniture types, but if you need some additional chairs for this space, they'll be the same chairs that we have in the meeting room so that, you know, we can augment that and we don't have to buy 30% more furniture. We don't have to go through all of these, but the goal is to find some really comfortable reading chairs that give people kind of a sense of personal space and are pleasant to read in. If we can have some individual spaces for people to do some focused work, bring their laptop or just read a book, these are kind of nice options. Staff workstations, I think, can be sit-stand, which are kind of probably a good accommodation for staff members of different sizes and different working styles. A lightweight staff chair for staff and for the public computers. There's a display system that we're proposing that would allow library staff members to actually put books, new acquisitions, movies that are recently arrived, announce programs on that display system so that things are kind of continually changing, and so each time you come to the library there's something new to discover. Cabinet work and casework out of solid wood that'll stand up for a really long time. So there's a lot of storage requirements in the new library because we have toys and other kinds of learning activity-based materials, in addition to the old-fashioned, you know, books and book repair supplies. So that storage furniture is contained in almost every room in the early learning through play, in the gathering and STEAM space, in the workroom. We even have storage in the meeting room. There's probably not going to be enough storage, but we'll try to make the most effective use out of all that storage. In the gathering space, we have storage for furniture, so you can put away some chairs that aren't in current use or tables. So we're proposing the kind of furniture we're talking about, these kind of seminar tables, unlike these tables that you fold up and then drag into a closet. These, the tables tilt, you wheel them into a corner and they nest and store in a kind of nested way. It's very common in higher education settings. And we're looking for very sturdy but lightweight chairs, comfortable like these, but maybe not as heavy, but that hold up to the kind of constant use that library furniture has. Age-appropriate furniture in the teen area, we're looking at higher tables and stools, perhaps, for people who don't sit still too long and who like to kind of gather around and kind of talk and socialize and kind of compare notes. And in the early learning through play, there's an opportunity for some special age-appropriate learning furniture and manipulatives and things that are just available for use on a kind of casual basis or for programs. So that's kind of an overview of the furniture, perhaps more detail. The next slide, I think, shows how all of this might appear in context. So this area that I'm going to create a whole new space, but this is probably a central area in the library from which we have the ability to kind of see this display. But the entry is over here from the south side. So the large gathering space and steam room is at the far end. We have new books and new materials displayed right in the middle of this area. If we look at the next slide, I think it focuses on the display opportunities so staff can put together thematic displays at Halloween or different times of year, featuring different topics, can put new materials out there with the goal of connecting people with ideas and materials and books and increase circulation and just get kind of community conversations started. At the same time, there's space for a display of library-produced work or work from a local community, artists, or cultural groups, possibly the History Museum, the Cedar Willy Museum folks. So the next slide, I think, focuses a little bit more on the opportunity to kind of put a movable display for new materials, recently acquired materials, and thematically organized collections. Adjacent to a comfortable reading area that's configured somewhat like a cafe with a tall ceiling and a lot of light and a direct connection to the outside. These spaces can work in a kind of overlap where, like a large event, all of these doors to the gathering space open and people could kind of connect up and we can accommodate more people for large events if you had a big author reading or a very popular event like Dios de la Muertes. My Spanish is not so good. So that's part of the flexibility that we're trying to build into the plan. So the next slide describes the materials. It's a pretty simple palette of materials, an exposed wood structure overhead with acoustical baffles, which actually both reflect light and absorb noise, which I think will be kind of important in a more active library that has conversation and people doing active things. Two kinds of flooring. We'll have some polished concrete in some areas that get high traffic and a lot of active use, like in the project space or the steam room. And then most of the library will be carpeted with a carpet tile that's replaceable in sections so it can be maintained. So that's a pretty simple palette of materials. We brought samples for people to kind of handle and just see what it's like. I'm sure people are pretty familiar with these materials, but nice to see them in person and kind of kick the tires, so to speak. So the next slide describes the active meeting room, steam room, and it's really a room for making, and it's both for making things and projects. It's also for making friends and acquaintances out of your neighbors and fellow community members, because it's not so much that you made it at the library, it's that people working together on things, it's just a really ideal opportunity for interaction and intergenerational exchange of information and ideas. And so I think you might be the second library. Bellevue just installed a new maker space and they're just trying to get it off the ground and make it work. But I think it's really successful. I think combining it with this space will give it a lot more utility. So in this space, the next slide shows a focus on the movable furniture configured here so that groups of 4 to 6 individuals could work on a project. This looks like a little robotic steam kind of exercise, but it's not too hard to imagine. You could be doing a canning workshop. You could be doing a cooking demonstration. It could be knitting, fly tying. We're not really geared for taxidermy, but there's got to be some sort of limit to the number of uses. But if that was something we're looking at, we could talk to a mechanical engineer about floor drains. But right now, it's really just a hard, cleanable surface with a lot of storage. So the other slide of this space, I think, focuses on the presentation opportunity. So a marker board that opens up and has a flat screen display, so large format video and film presentations could be made. This could be used for distance learning. It could be used just to share your travel slides with your friends and neighbors. Could be for movie night or library-made films. So all of that's built in. On the left side is storage for all of those kind of learning and activity-based things. So the library already owns a fair amount of tools and learning materials, and we'll have the opportunity to acquire some more over time. So the next slide, we're just now looking at some of the areas. These are just still images of the building model, and this is the teen space. And so, you know, there's an area for computing, tall tables with stools, an area for teen information and events. There's a visual connection through to the social reading area since teens are part of our large community. Nice to have their own space but not be sequestered completely away. They're near both the staff, and this is the staff service point, I guess. This is like right immediately adjacent. We're looking back at the gathering space beyond, so they have pretty proximate access to that space. The next slide is the children family area, and so we're looking at the sort of browsing shelves that the library already owns, and so part of our interior palette comes from some of the newly acquired furniture that the library will bring over to the new location. But in this area, we have comfortable seating for children and caregivers to read in these alcoves. We have collections located near at hand. We have a sort of larger, flexible space for families and children. And then beyond that, we can see the early learning through play space, which is enclosed. So if children are engaged in a noisy activity or program, there's a flat screen kind of visible as a dark rectangle on the wall beyond. Those things can all occur without too much disruption to patrons seeking a quieter environment. So beyond that, you can see the collection area. And in the far right, that's the quiet reading space. So the next slide really shows that quiet reading area. So corner windows, comfortable seating in the corner, library table. On this wall that's just slightly out of view is the space for rare and valuable books and collections. And I think you can see this is an area where it's kind of embedded in and adjacent to the rest of the collection. The next slide is the, I guess, called group meeting space, but really it's, I think, got a lot more versatility than that, since it could be a place where you have a book club. You could do smaller projects here. Student groups or small business groups could actually meet 8 to 10 to 12 people, and it has a flat screen monitor, marker boards, and it's really set up for active kind of creative work, as well as meetings, which are, as we know, boring but important. So the next slide shows the public computers at a kind of at a table that allows the computers to be slightly off angle so that 8 patrons can actually work in this area. Barely visible to the right is a counter for people who bring their own laptops, or we could have additional library-provided computers there. There's a window to the right, and these are two small focus rooms, could be used for groups of 2 to 4 people, might be used for tutoring. You might have an online interview or the need to kind of conduct an online class. So having two of those acoustically protected and enclosable so that that noise doesn't really transfer out. I think the last slide really starts kind of back at the beginning. When you enter the library, the first thing you see is the service desk on the far right, the display area, the new books and collections, and then a comfortable seating area, that social reading cafe kind of space. So we will have heat, so you won't have to keep your coat on inside. We will also have air conditioning, so it's hard to tell what this weather is, but we'll have both of those things. So you can see the emphasis is still on the balancing of natural light. We obviously have artificial light for the evenings. You'll see the display area, which I think is a really good opportunity for the staff to exercise their creativity, bring the collection and library materials to people. Every time you come to the library, it should be like a new experience, some kind of discovery opportunity at that place. The dark rectangle is a flat screen. The idea is to be able to promote and tell people about library programs, community events, those kinds of things on an ongoing basis, sort of managed by the library. So kind of like the good old-fashioned bulletin board, but just digitally updated and able to carry, I think, a lot more content in a smaller space. And so periodicals, magazines, and books in this area. So there's a comfortable place to take a newspaper, take a magazine, and just sit down with a cup of coffee or laptop. You can kind of see through the rest of the library. And the idea here really is to just have that social opportunity. If you can see your neighbors, you kind of know they're here. There's an opportunity to kind of say hello. There's a place to sit down and talk, or you can carry a conversation outside, or you can just work on your laptop or read your paperback. So this is, I think, the last space. The staff space. So I know there's a group of people here probably more interested than others, but really this is kind of like a kitchen in the round, where a large central work table with storage is located in the center, service counters on both ends, library holds and storage for library materials, books, allow staff to kind of work kind of out in the open, not fully accessible to the public, but visible so that they can actually cover and kind of cross-cover some assignments. So behind us, just on this side, are the break room, director's office, and a small office space. And then there's an enhanced acoustical ceiling treatment over that area, since we expect people to be talking and communicating and trying to contain that noise kind of within that area. So I think that is the last space. So we do have an animation sequence which is frozen here on these two screens, which will give you a kind of a sense of what it's like to arrive at the library perhaps on a Saturday morning, although the shadows look like it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the summer. So driving up Rita Street, you'll pass some parking accessible off the street. You'll turn into the parking lot, assuming we're in a car here. So there will always be a parking space, at least this many parking spaces available. We wish. So we have landscape. That's the computer, a public computer area with a large window, a covered entry space, and a vestibule kind of for airlock and also to get out of the rain as you enter the library. It's a book drop at that location. So you can see the entry on the south, and on the left is the gathering space. And you can see how it looks configured for a presentation, maybe a meeting like this, sort of large windows in the south. The entry space again, we're looking at the social reading area, the display area, and the service desk, and we can see into the workspace beyond that. So moving westward, on our left-hand side is the teen area. On our right-hand side is the public computers, and we're looking at the staff workroom. So sorry for the motion sickness, but that's the teen area. So taller seating, large collection to kind of create some spatial division to the children, between that and the children's family area. So the early learning through play space is enclosed and available for informal programs with a flat screen monitor at the far end. So back into the book collection area in the center of the library, and working our way toward the quiet reading room, which is located in the northwest corner. And so here, what we should see are people sitting and reading happily, quietly. But I think they'll find a seat. But really, I imagine that readers of all ages could use this space. But anybody who needs a quiet space to work or read or think. And then looking back to the east, at the very far end, we'd see the meeting room, and we can see the social reading area from there. If you were to come out on a Thursday night, perhaps after work or after school, of course this sky looks like Halloween night, but I think people at public meetings talked about a place to go on a Thursday night and for social opportunity, and so it could be that the library is still open at this time, but you might be coming for a program in the meeting room or an event like this or an author reading or a slide presentation. So you could check out the new books, those kind of things, say hello to the staff, and then find yourself sort of a place in the gathering meeting space. The artificial lighting isn't super sophisticated in the model, but the goal is to have a combination of downlight for task and uplight to kind of give the library a kind of a brighter, more sort of cheerful atmosphere day and night. So these things are just going to loop incessantly, so we can come back to this or we can pause it anywhere you want. But this is really the overview, the sort of big overview. So we have, I think, time. I don't know how you want to divide the time, Julia, but we'll be here for, I guess, at least the next hour and a half, to answer questions that you might have about specific things.
Right. Thank you, Kevin. That was really nice. So because this is a joint meeting right now, the questions that can be asked or comments made would be by either the board or the council. And so both Mary. Yeah, yes.
Question about the common room, the gathering room. I was wondering how big, how many people would it seat in there, and could it be divided? I don't remember hearing that. I might have missed that.
It holds 60 people in chairs configured like this, maybe a few more. If we open the doors, because there's, let's say that wall is completely glass and the doors open, we could probably get more people in the back in a kind of standing room. We haven't worked out a subdivision of that space, and instead we have another smaller space of, you know, 8 to 12 people, thinking that it might be more useful. I think there was a question about how good a sound barrier we could make with a temporary wall, and whether or not that would be used that way that often. So it's not a gigantic room, but it does hold 60, 32 with 36 perhaps with tables for projects.
I have one more question. I'm sorry. How long is the building from east to west? Like, how long is it?
Can I use a lifeline? Carolyn. It's almost 200 feet, I guess. So it's long. I mean, it really reflects the geometry of the site. So.
The only reason I ask is for folks who are maybe ADA and need facility, if they're on that end of the building, if they could, you know, for restroom purposes.
Oh, that's a great question. We could look at the plan really briefly. I did overlook. We do have a family restroom in the adjacent to the children's area that is right here at the west end of the building. So it sort of does provide that opportunity. And I think operationally, I think we're talking to the library director and staff about how to control access to that restroom. But that is something that's actually built into the project at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes. So we had talked about potentially doing solar, but then that was kind of cost prohibitive based upon, you know, that's what we had in some of our discussions. But if we are able to get a grant, and that's, you know, for that, where would you see that being put on the roof, or, you know, some of this, because I've seen some nice standalone, you know, little solar panels there, just primarily for, I think, for education, right, for the STEM program, to be able to leverage that not only internally for the use, but also from an education standpoint. So would you see that being on the roof or on the kind of the side somewhere?
If you get a really large grant, we have a lot of roof area that we could apply that has a really ideal southern orientation, and that was one of the initial ideas behind the form of the building, to provide that opportunity. So there's a lot of opportunity on the roof. The structural system is designed to hold the dead load of the solar panels, and we have a location for PV switchgear on the north side of the building, an electrical room, should that happen. If you had a small grant, I could certainly see there's enough space in the landscape area to provide a kind of a covered pavilion or play space on the outside that just had a few panels and actually was more of a demonstration scale, because you do have great south orientation. Another thing that was mentioned was, you know, we have bike parking, but we could perhaps have a covered bike parking area that had a few photovoltaic cells forming the roof of that. So it could happen at different scales in different places.
Okay. I have a question.
Well, you mentioned that the property line was north of the garden area. So who owns the property to the south?
Aaron should probably answer this, but I think it's city right-of-way.
Well, so there's actually two answers to that. The portion that is immediately south of the iron skillet is owned by the city currently in fee, and it will be transferred to the city and district as tenants in common as per our agreement. The area that would be south of the old feed barn and east of that area that goes out in the skillet's parking lot is a public right-of-way, and that's something that could be a conversation for the future for the council to potentially vacate and turn into fee that would then be owned by the library partnership.
Okay. And then the other question I had is, you had on there some polished concrete flooring. I think that's a great idea. I certainly would like to see that. But I wondered why there was also, you had mentioned that most of it would be carpeted. Now, carpet squares are better than just laying a carpet out, but was it cost prohibitive to have more concrete, or is there a reason we're not using more of that?
That's what he said. So, yeah, so we can control noise generated in those spaces more effectively with carpet. So in the spaces where we don't have a need for a super durable flooring, let's say the entry area where there's going to get constant traffic day in and day out, or in the activity space that's also the gathering space, we're going to be able to try to control that noise two ways. I think in the gathering space, we're going to have some more acoustical insulation on the walls. There, the issue is partly just making it a better acoustical environment for speakers, and so that the people in the audience can hear properly with minimal need for sound reinforcement. But in the other spaces, carpet is going to be the easiest way to kind of reduce the amount of noise. So we have sound absorption down low and also up high. The books provide a certain amount of that, where they actually are in the library too. So we're taking advantage of all of that. And oddly enough, depending on the concrete finish, polished concrete costs about the same as carpet. So we'll have walk-off mats at both entries to kind of get people's feet dry and clean. But obviously, that entry area is going to take the most wear and tear.
Okay. Yeah, I get the idea of that, especially in the active area to the south. I just thought, you know, as far as maintenance over a long period of time, that the concrete would have be a better choice.
And I think we could look at that, you know, in the social reading area. It's possible that that area is not as noisy. But I think if you want to allow people to have conversations and not disrupt other patrons, given where I think library user culture is, having sort of more sound absorption in all these areas will just make more people more happy. So I kind of advise we err on that side.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks, appreciate your answers.
Go ahead. Question?
So you mentioned you had some samples of things in the back. Are we talking about, do you have some color palettes? Some, have you gotten to the interior design in terms of, you've showed some furniture, but in terms of materials and color palettes that you've selected?
Yes. And we thought it might be most effective to show you the preliminary selections and the ones that we've reviewed with the library committee. So we haven't worked out the entire carpet pattern, but we have samples of the actual carpet. So it's really kind of predominantly gray, which is kind of a neutral, somewhat light reflective, and has blue in it. It's not as blue as Cedro Woolley High School colors, but it's kind of a toned down reference. And I think you can see that on the floor. And then the other interior materials are on this table right here. And so we haven't finalized every color selection, but we have a palette of colors. Truthfully, it's a pretty neutral palette. And the thinking here is that there's enough complexity in the design. The books carry a lot of color and really are the focus, the people and the activities happening. So we haven't sort of put bold colors on everything. But there's definitely an opportunity for some color. And so the furniture selections will carry some color in all likelihood, and we'll try to avoid those colors that we think might be out of style next year.
I want to compliment you. I was impressed with how big it is. Once you give us the way through it and we can actually visualize it, I was very impressed.
Well, thank you.
So if there are no more questions, then we're going to open the open house, and when we do the open house, you'll be able to ask the questions and make any comments when that happens. Yeah. Well, I think for the sake of time, because it is 6 o'clock and we do have a 7 o'clock council meeting here, and because we would really like to record those questions and comments, so those that are going up on the boards, we like to hang on to those so that they can go back to the library committee, we can discuss them. Also, Kevin and his team can take a look at them and possibly even advise us. So this is why we're doing it the way that we are. Thank you, though. Thank you for your comment. So if there are no more questions, I am going to close this meeting for the City Council. And
we'll close the library board meeting. And I think all of us really appreciate very much that you have come this evening. And we hope that you can stay and spend some time with the boards. Library staff, I believe, are going to be available to answer questions as well. And Kevin will be here. And we want to get those questions and comments in. And also, to add to what Julia said, it is always possible then to come back and ask questions at a regular City Council or Library Board meeting and do that as part of public comment so that everyone does hear the questions and the comments at that point. So thank you for bringing it up, and thank you for coming. Our meeting's adjourned.